Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 143. My name is John. You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. Casablanca was released nationwide exactly 29 years before I was born. The nearly 80-year-old movie is the epitome of iconic. It is one of the most quoted and famously misquoted movies of all time. It is perfectly cast with gorgeously nuanced dialogue. It is one of the absolute must-see films for anyone who appreciates classic Hollywood cinema or really just film in general. So, if you haven't seen it, why not? More importantly, if you continue with this podcast, you will learn about plot points, plot twists, and the ending of the movie, and it will ruin a story you need to see without spoilers. So, for the love of God, if you haven't seen Casablanca, then stop this podcast and go watch it on HBO Max. And if you don't have that, buy a copy somewhere. It's worth it. Once you're done, come back and finish listening, because the spoilers begin now. As always, I like to get the negative things out of the way first. This is pretty easy. I really don't have anything that I dislike about this movie. If you go to the IMDb page and go down to the goof section that lists all the continuity and sound errors, you'll see a lot of nitpicking things that could take you out of a movie if you let it. I caught some right away, but it took me several viewings before I caught on to most of those things. Some I still hadn't noticed. Why? Because the story and the characters are so goddamn good that I don't care. Sure, Dooley Wilson obviously isn't playing the piano. Victor's bloody sleeve and towel is suddenly stain-free. And La Marseillaise begins playing a split second before the trumpet players get the instruments up to their mouths. So the fuck what? Yes, there are historical inaccuracies in this movie based on a play written in 1940. For instance, there were never anything like letters of transit in real life. So the fuck what? It's a movie. A work of fiction. Don't let those stupid little nitpicky things take you away from what is a great movie. I don't remember the first time I watched Casablanca. All I know is I loved it from the first viewing. You always hear about classic movies you just gotta see. So one evening on Turner Classic Movies, I decided it was time. This was before the days of the internet, so I had very little information. Here's Looking at You, Kid. Hill of Beans. Beautiful Friendship. Bogey and Bergman. That's pretty much it. That's all I knew about the movie. I didn't even know it was set in the desert. That's why I implore you to watch it without spoilers, because it really is for the best. The opening narration sets the tone. Trying to escape the expanding Nazi regime, many Europeans have made their way to Casablanca, but from there they must get to Portugal as a gateway to America to be free. With so much German-occupied territory, plus the cooperation of Vichy France, only those with enough influence, money, or luck make it to Portugal. The rest must wait. No sooner than the dour voice of the narrator sets up the difficulty than we get the MacGuffin by the first actor to speak. Two German couriers have been murdered. They had been carrying special letters of transit, which will allow the bearers to travel unquestioningly through the German-occupied territories and Vichy France all the way to Portugal. We see how the matter is handled by the authoritarian dictatorship of Vichy France. There is no detective work. Anyone considered suspicious is arrested. One man shows the police expired papers and is shot to death as he tries to run away. He's discovered to be part of the underground movement to free France and Europe from the Nazis. Folks, this is a short political lesson. Sometimes it's the good guys running from the police, and the police are the bad guys if they're supporting unjust laws or political regimes. A small-time crook named Ugarte killed the couriers and took the letters. Knowing his danger, he asked cynical, hard-nosed nightclub owner Rick Blaine to hold the letters until he can sell them. Rick begrudgingly agrees and hides the letters, but Ugarte is arrested moments later. After the arrest, Renault, the prefect of police, tells Rick a celebrated resistance leader, Victor Laszlo, is coming to Casablanca and would be the prime buyers for the letters of transit. But Nazi Major Strasser has also arrived to make sure Laszlo either remains in Casablanca, away from the resistance in Europe, or commits some transgression that will allow the Nazis to arrest him and take him back to Germany. Victor arrives soon afterward with a woman, Ilse Lund. The piano player Sam instantly recognizes her as the woman with whom Rick had a brief romance in Paris just prior to the German invasion. Ilse's sudden end to their affair, leaving only a note, was the turning point for Rick becoming dour and surly. Rick is shocked, but acts cordially around her, Victor, and Renault. However, seeing her again brings back bitter memories, and after the nightclub closes, Rick gets drunk. When Ilse arrives and tries to explain herself, Rick is spiteful and drives her away. Laszlo is indeed trying to find Ugarte for the letters of transit, but Renault and Strasser tell him that Ugarte is dead. With the letters seemingly lost, Laszlo goes to the head of the black market, Signor Ferrari, who says it's too dangerous for him to help Laszlo, but alludes that Rick could help him. Simultaneously, Rick runs into Ilse in a marketplace, where Ilse reveals that Laszlo is her husband, and was, even when they knew each other in Paris. But at that time, she thought Laszlo was dead, until she learned otherwise, which is why she left Rick without explanation. Laszlo later goes to Rick, who also refuses to help. And when pressed by Laszlo why, Rick tells him to ask his wife. Seeing the inspiration Laszlo has on the refugees during an incident at Rick's, Strasser orders Renault to have the club closed. That night, while Laszlo attends a secret resistance meeting, Ilse confronts Rick at gunpoint for the letters. He calls her bluff, and instead of shooting him, confesses she's still in love with him. They're interrupted by the arrival downstairs of Laszlo and Carl, the waiter from the club, who are on the run from the police after their meeting was raided. Rick quietly has Carl take Ilse away. The police arrive and arrest Laszlo. The next day, Rick persuades Renault to release Laszlo under the auspice of setting him up for an arrest with a much more serious charge. Rick explains he plans to let Renault capture Laszlo while buying the letters of transit, thereby allowing Renault to curry favor with Strasser. Then, Rick will take Ilse with him away from Casablanca using the letters. Instead, that evening, Rick double-crosses Renault and pulls a gun on him as he tries to arrest Laszlo. Rick has Renault call the airport to advise them that the passengers with the letters of transit are not to be detained. But Renault instead calls Strasser, who makes his way to the airport. At the airport, as Victor takes their luggage to the plane, Rick finally reveals his true plan, to have Victor and Ilse escape with the letters of transit. Rick explains to a stunned Ilsa that she must stay by Victor's side to inspire him as he inspires the resistance. When Victor returns to bid farewell, Rick explains that Ilsa had visited him the night before, trying to convince Rick that she was still in love with him in order to get the letters of transit. But he recognized it as a ruse and knew he needed to give them the letters for the greater good. Strasser arrives as the plane takes off. Rick points his gun at Strasser and warns him to let them go. But Strasser pulls a gun and fires at Rick. Rick is faster, and Strasser dies. When the police arrive, Renault knows Rick must be arrested. Instead, he tells his men to round up the usual suspects. Rick and Renault walk off into the night fog, discussing plans to go on vacation until the aftermath blows over. Now that's a full recap, a lot more than what you're going to get from Wikipedia, and it gives you all the important plot points and twists, but it doesn't do the movie true justice. You can't really appreciate the movie unless you watch for the nuances, starting with the stellar international cast. I believe only 4 of the people with speaking parts in the movie were born in America. Many of the actors playing refugees trying to escape the Nazis in Casablanca were, in fact, real-life refugees who fled the Nazis. When you see Madeleine LeBeau, who plays the jilted Yvonne, cry while singing La Marseillaise, those are genuine tears because she fled Paris prior to the arrival of the invading German forces. She wasn't just an actress playing a part. She lived the life. Some, like German-born Conrad Veidt, who played Major Strasser, ended up getting cast as Nazis because of their accents. He had first-hand experience with the villain he portrayed. Everyone knows about the great leads of the movie, but there are so many more wonderful standout moments from interaction with other characters or interludes with a second or third tier member of the cast. The rug merchant is trying to sell his wares to Ilsa for 700 francs and drops his price to 100 when Rick shows up. And what does that tell you about their respect for Rick? That his presence gets you an 85% discount. The pickpocket gives one of the all-time great lines spoken by a tertiary character. There are vultures, vultures everywhere. I mean, come on, how do you not love that line, especially that he's delivering it while he's stealing the man's wallet? Once again, quick political lesson. The fuckers are picking your pocket while they're inundating you with their fear-mongering. Leonid Kinsky as Sasha, the bartender, in a role that would surely have gotten the character canceled in modern times, pining away for Yvonne, but still knowing who signs his paycheck. His scenes are more for laughs, which are unfortunately overshadowed by Carl. How could you not love S.K. Sokal as Carl, the waiter? I mean, talk about making the most out of a role. He accidentally bumps into the pickpocket and immediately checks to make sure he still has his wallet. After Rick instructs the croupier to allow Jan to win at roulette so he and his new bride can afford passage to Portugal, a man asks Carl if the place is honest. Honest? As honest as the day is long. Rick instructs Carl to give Major Strasser a good table, to which Carl replies, "I've already given him the best," knowing that he is German and would take it anyway. That's just 3 examples, and there are plenty more. Dooley Wilson makes the most of the limited time he's given. Sam is the one person who was there to see what Rick and Ilsa had in Paris. The one person who truly understands what is going on with Rick and tries to help his friend, even though he is constantly pushed away. You can see the compassion in his eyes and hear it in his voice as he repeatedly tries to persuade Rick to get away from a painful situation. Sydney Greenstreet and Peter Lorre played their roles perfectly, each with just the right amount of smarminess needed to know they're criminals in a desperate city. Conrad Veidt portrays the arrogant, evil Estrasser just as perfectly. Unfortunately, Veidt also has the dubious distinction of being the first member of the billed cast to pass away just months after the movie was released. Quick political aside, if there is one line that highlights the evil Estrasser, at least to me, it's when he tells Laszlo, "You were Czechoslovakian. Now, you are a member of the Third Reich." Folks, that's the goal of all collectivists. I don't care whether you're talking about Nazism, fascism, communism, socialism, liberal, conservative, or any sociopolitical ideology, or for that matter, any of the hardline religious factions. All of those collectivists had the same end game. You were what you wanted to be. Now, you're going to be what we want you to be. Once any of them has enough power, you will have to choose between fighting for freedom or surrendering your life to their will. Take a good, long, objective look at all of them, and you realize they all just want to subjugate you. Claude Rains plays an absolute scoundrel as the corrupt but oddly likable Captain Renault, the prefect of police. One of the best lines of the movie that resonates today comes when Renault closes Rick's on the grounds that he is shocked to discover gambling on the premises, as the croupier arrives to give him his winnings. It's meme-worthy for the corruption and hypocrisy in our world today. Where Sidney Greenstreet's Signor Ferrari is the head of the black market, Rains' Captain Renault is the head of law and order, and both use their status for personal gain by taking advantage of the desperation of the refugees. It's not a stretch to assume that they are working together, because obviously Renault knows about the black market, and Ferrari openly suggests to a young couple with a very attractive wife to try to get an exit visa for Renault, fully aware that Renault will do so in exchange for sex. More on that shortly. Despite the corruption, Renault is charming, and that has to be due to Rains' performance. Renault is truly unflappable. Whether Strasser storms up to him demanding Rick's club be closed, or even when Rick himself pulls a gun and threatens to shoot him, Renault replies with the same nonchalant demeanor. When you first watch the movie, provided you do so without advanced spoilers, after Rick shoots Strasser and the police arrive, Rick and Renault look at each other, and you expect Rick to be placed under arrest for murder. But instead, Renault covers for him. It's a moment of tension that ends with Renault showing his contempt for his government of Vichy France, who were nothing more than a puppet state for Nazi Germany. Renault, up to that point, had diplomatically showed his willingness to play the hand he was dealt as a corrupt police chief and profit as much as he could from it. It wasn't until recently that I noticed a barely imperceptible tell. When Major Strasser first arrives in Casablanca and is met at his plane, he makes a comment to Renault that Germans must get used to all climates. Watch closely, and you'll see Renault gives a very quick sneer. The desire to rebel was there. Not enough is said about Paul Henry as Victor Laszlo. He is often discarded as the rigid, stoic third side of the love triangle. Maybe it's because reportedly he did not get along with the other cast members, but that may actually help in this case. Victor Laszlo is the leader of European resistance, not just France or Czechoslovakia, but the whole damn continent. He endured concentration camps, cheated death multiple times, and he is driven beyond all else to drive the Nazis back where they came from. He certainly loves Ilsa and will risk his life for her, and he shows a certain esprit de corps with his fellow resistance fighters, but everyone else is just someone in the way of achieving his goals. And that makes sense for a rigid stoic character. Maybe it also helps that, again, reportedly, Henry thought little of Bogart's acting, and it shows a bit in their scene alone together. Laszlo is no fool. He knew there was something going on between Rick and Ilsa from the moment he saw them together, so there's a sense that Laszlo sees Rick as a lesser rival. And then, of course, there's Bogart and Bergman. No one from that era could give the look of a bitter soul better than Bogart. His deadpan delivery with Strasser is one of my favorite scenes, and I still laugh when he reads through the dossier, looks up at Strasser, and says, "Are my eyes really brown?" From the flashbacks of a man in love, to the broken drunkard waiting for her arrival, to the boss interacting with his employees, Bogart hits each note just right. And how fucking amazing is Bergman? Watch her throughout this movie and think of who else could pull off a character that seems equally strong and vulnerable at the same time. Throughout most of the movie, until she pulls the gun on Rick, she seems so close to falling apart, yet holds herself together by sheer will. And yeah, I'll just say it. Ingrid Bergman is fucking beautiful. I wish I had been one of those handsome co-stars she had affairs with in her career. And don't clutch your fucking pearls. That's not slut shaming. That's slut respecting. Because that's my kind of woman. Casablanca is an enduring classic, rightfully deserving the praise it has been given over the years. It's one of those movies where I could happen upon it at any point in the story and sit to watch the rest. I love it no matter how many times I've seen it. A few years ago, though, something dawned on me. This film is seen as one of the great cinematic love stories. Rick and Ilsa fall in love, even though she will not talk about her past. They meet again years later, and he discovers that she was married, even though at the time of their affair, she thought her husband was dead. They cannot resist each other, but he, in an act of love and nobility, sends her away with the husband she is meant to be with. Let me give you a different interpretation. I'm sure someone else has thought of this, probably written about it, maybe even done a podcast about it. But I personally haven't heard anyone else say it. Casablanca is not a romance. It's a revenge tale. Wait, hear me out. Stick with me here for just a few minutes. Let me put a few pieces in front of you. First, the night Ilsa and Victor come to Rick's. After closing, Rick gets drunk, and we see a flashback of the time Rick and Ilsa knew each other in Paris. Ilsa then shows up, and Rick is very cruel to her. Now, granted, he's drunk, but his uninhibited personality has come out. He is hurt, and he wants to hurt her back. Second, a young wife asks Rick for advice. I mentioned this in passing earlier. While it is never clearly stated because of censorship regulations at the time, she is hoping for her husband to win enough money gambling in order for them to buy visas from Renaud. However, if the husband fails, Renaud will give them the exit visas if she has sex with him. She talks about her inner conflict of keeping such a secret. Rick knows that either the wife will keep the secret that will eat her up inside for the rest of her life, or the truth will come out, devastating the marriage. Third, Victor may be a revolutionary, but he's still a man in the old world that sees fidelity as sacrosanct. Maybe he would have given her a pass for the time in Paris when he was thought to be dead, but not when he's very much alive with her in Casablanca. He's also a very intelligent man. He knew in an instant there was history between Rick and Ilsa. Fourth, Ilsa believes she is going to Lisbon with Rick and that she is going to leave Victor behind. When she and Victor arrive at Rick's for the letters of transit, she pulls Rick aside, not understanding why Victor believes he's getting the letters from Rick to take Ilsa away. She doesn't say anything to Victor. She is keeping what she believes to be the secret that she is betraying Victor for Rick. Fifth, when they all arrive at the airport, Rick tells Renaud to have his men take the luggage to the plane with Victor. Then, after Victor has walked off, he reveals his true plan, and Ilsa is shocked. She even resists the notion and begins to remind Rick of their promises to each other from the previous night before Rick cuts her off and insists that she and Victor take the visas. She's now going to leave with the man she intended to betray and is still processing it all when Victor comes back. Now, this is where it all hinges. If Rick really wanted Ilsa to live happily ever after with her husband, he would never have told Victor that she snuck over to his place the night before while Victor was on the run from the police after the resistance meeting was raided. He never would have said that Ilsa pretended to still be in love with him and that he let her pretend. He would have just said a noble farewell and let them go. Instead, he planted a suggestion in Victor's mind. He even tells Victor, "It may make a difference to you later on." Again, Victor's an intelligent man. He will piece together what happened. You can imagine the plane ride to Lisbon once they've gotten far away from Casablanca, or perhaps once they've made it to Portugal. There's silence between the two until Victor asks Ilsa, "What did Rick mean when he said you tried everything to get the letters of transit?" You can imagine the discussion possibly turning heated. "He said you tried to convince him you were in love with him. Are you?" Maybe it happens, but maybe not. Then again, just imagine what happens if, in the course of this theoretical fictional conversation, Ilsa lets slip that she thought she would be on the plane with Rick instead of Victor. Suddenly, this stoic and heroic man, who is the celebrated face of European resistance against the Nazis, realizes the woman he refused to leave in Casablanca was going to leave him trapped in Casablanca, arrested for possessing the letters of transit. Ilsa either holds the secret in and lets it eat her up inside, or the truth comes out and devastates their marriage. When you think about it that way, Rick Blaine gives Rhett Butler's exit a run for its money. And hey, if you want to go along with Renaud and say, you know Rick really did it for love, that's fine too. I'm just saying, think about it. In fact, do what I do. Go watch Casablanca again and again. When you run across it on TV or just feel like a rewatch once a year or so. If you're like me, your almost 50-year-old self will catch things your 25-year-old self missed. You'll never know what you discover as time goes by. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.